Oh, let's give it to the Lord tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's lift up a praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you tonight. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's so good to be in God's house tonight. Always a joy to be in Hot Springs. And we give honor tonight to your good pastor, First Lady of this church tonight. We love them very, very much. And so thankful for how God has used them to carry this church to where it is today. Amen. Does anybody love your leadership tonight? Thank God. Amen. We give them double honor tonight. So very grateful for their friendship to us over the years. And we are truly blessed because of them tonight. And I wasn't one of them friends that called it the house of the Lord either. Amen, amen. I tell you what, y'all have got the real deal here for a pastor. Amen. 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 Love the Moats family tonight. Give honor to all of them, their children. They're all a testimony of their love for this truth. Amen. I give honor to all of their children tonight. Brother Darren Moats, very, very good friend of mine. I love him very, very much tonight. Proud of him and all that he does for the kingdom of God. And God's so good. He's so good. Thankful to have my sweet wife with me tonight. I love her and our youngest son. Amen. Love them very much. Glad that they're here. I regret my other two boys not here tonight, but thankful for my wife tonight and her love for the work of God. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to try to give to you what I feel tonight for this service. I wonder if you'll help me tonight. I've done this long enough that I've come to the conclusion that preaching is many things, but I have come to realize that preaching in a lot of ways is almost a conversation. When you're preaching and forth-telling what the word of the Lord is, God really does expect there to be a response. And that is a part of the conversation and the flow and the ebb of preaching. And the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. And faith brings about a response. Praise God. Amen. And it causes the supernatural to flow. And I believe that the supernatural wants to flow in this house tonight. Does anybody else believe that tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4 tonight in verse 46 is where we will begin reading. John chapter number 4 and verse number 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. For a few moments here tonight, I would like to preach to us from this subject, and hopefully you will understand it as I progress through this message tonight. But I want to talk to us about tomorrow's miracles. Tomorrow's miracles. Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands, our voices? Come on, let's pray together in faith. Let's pray and ask the Lord to unleash a miracle in this house tonight. Kala moho shatama. Hila moho katamaya. Woo! Come on, there's a touch of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, lift up a praise to the Lord right now. Shataya na bohosa. Woo! Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for how you're going to do it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Somebody shout tomorrow. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is a very familiar term with most everyone here. Most of the time, if there's something that needs to be done that we're really not quite in the mood to do, we'll put it off to tomorrow. I don't remember who originated the phrase. I don't remember when I first heard it, but I was quite young. Someone said, do not put off till tomorrow what you can do today. But I will tell you that most of the time we fall prey to that very thing in putting things off until tomorrow. Tomorrow is shrouded in mystery and intrigue, because simply stated here tonight, you and I cannot live in tomorrow. We can make plans. Some of us may have plans for this week because of spring break, things that we want to do. Some of us may have plans to do a whole lot of nothing. But we've got plans nonetheless that are in tomorrow. But you know, we may not make it to tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. So there's that level of intrigue and mystery that hangs over what is in the unknown of tomorrow. James said it this way, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Sometimes we get to worrying about what's going to come to us down the road. But Jesus said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. You and I may not be promised tomorrow. You and I may not know what we're going to face tomorrow. But I'm so glad tonight to tell you that we do know who holds tomorrow. We know who's got it all in his hands. We know who's got it all figured out. We know the way maker tonight. There's examples of this throughout the scriptures, speaking about the morrow. The Bible tells us that Moses spake concerning the plagues coming on the land of Egypt, and the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Concerning a very unfair battle regarding the children of Israel, God had spoke to Joshua and told him, be not afraid because of them. You might look outnumbered, you might look perplexed, but the morrow, tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to deliver them all slain before Israel. And what looks like a lopsided battle, don't worry about it. I've got it all under control. And you're going to have the upper hand on the morrow. God gave a promise of a victory that had yet to come. God gave a promise of something that was not yet visible. But God said, put your confidence in me, and I'll take care of what comes tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. Concerning the break in the famine of Samaria, the prophet Elisha said to the people, hear ye the word of the Lord. Some of them believed it, some of them did not believe it. But he said, hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria? That may not make much sense if you haven't familiarized yourself with the text, but they were in the middle of a famine where they were eating donkey's heads and dove excrement. And this prophet said, tomorrow the economy is going to make a rebound. And what doesn't look good right now, just give it a little time. Tomorrow's coming. Tomorrow's coming. Oh, my Lord, tomorrow's coming. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but somebody needs to take hope. Tomorrow's coming. We may not know what tomorrow holds, but tomorrow's on its way. Woo. We may not be promised it, but I will tell you that tomorrow does hold promise. Oh, thank you, Lord. The writer Jeremiah said that God's mercies are new every day. Morning. There is something to be said about tomorrow. There is something to be said about what is coming on the horizon. It might look dark right now for some of you. It might look challenged for some of you. It may not make sense right now for some of you. But I'm here tonight to preach that tomorrow is coming. There is a miracle that is in the making. Come on, everybody, give God praise, right? There's something about the original first miracle of the Lord that took place in John chapter number 2. We're not of the mindset that Jesus was healing puppies and making butterflies come back to life when he was a little boy. Bible doesn't bear that out. Matter of fact, there's no scripture for that. Bible says that the very first miracle that the Lord worked was when he turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And the scripture said that there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, there was something in that man that said, if he can turn water to wine, I don't know if he can heal anybody. He hadn't healed anybody yet. I don't know if he can raise anybody from the dead. He hadn't done it yet. But if he can make water into wine, I just reckon he can heal my sick son. There's something to be said about faith that will engage before you see the miracle. There's something to be said about your faith and confidence in God that you can engage before you see anything happen to prove otherwise. Woo! The nobleman that we read about was an officer in the king's court. Had no other point of reference to know that Jesus was a miracle worker except for this, what he was anchored to. He turned water to wine. He could have possibly been there when it took place. We don't know. There's no clarity on that, if he was there or not. There was no modern conveniences. Nobody could FaceTime him and say, look what's going on down here at Cana. There were no telephones. There was no social media to get the word out. People just spoke about it by word of mouth. And word got to this man's spirit that Jesus is a miracle worker. They understood. They knew that the God of the Old Testament could indeed work miracles. They knew that the God of Isaac and Abraham and Jacob was a miracle worker. But many of them had never seen a miracle take place. Many of them had just heard stories about it. Many of them had never had one happen in their life. I feel like God's wanting to prove himself to somebody in Hot Springs. Maybe it's been a little bit since you've had a miracle. Maybe it's been a little while since you've seen something move for your finances. Maybe it's been a bit since you've seen somebody healed in relation to you. But I've come tonight to touch your faith with the word of God. He's a God that can still work miracles. It's of interest tonight to note that this man, when he receives word that Jesus is back at Cana of Galilee, this man couldn't just hop in an automobile and traverse the miles quickly. This man either had to go by foot or he had to go by beast to get to where the Lord was. According to what I discovered, from Capernaum to Cana was 16 miles. You ever walked 16 miles? Probably not many in here has done that. At a whopping speed of 1 mile every 20 minutes, at about 3 miles per hour, it would have taken him 3 hours and 20 minutes to get there. 16 miles on a donkey, it might have made a little bit of difference, but probably not much. And if that donkey with a mind of its own decided to sit down, it might have taken longer. It would have to say something in this man's case that he was motivated to get up from where he was at to go to Cana. Jesus had performed again no other miracles up to this point save the water to wine. But this man had been told about it, and his faith had been stirred enough that he would walk 16 miles to get to where Jesus was. But something I'd like to interject is the fact that Jesus stayed there. Jesus was a man on a mission. Jesus was a man on a move. Many times he didn't stay long where he was, but he was the all-knowing God wrapped in flesh, and he knew there was a man that was coming who had some faith for a need. I know it's simple tonight, but God knew you was going to be here tonight with that need. God knew you was coming tonight with that situation, and he's been here waiting on us this evening. He's been here waiting on us to get here, just like he was waiting on that man. Oh, my Lord. I want you to notice that when this man gets in the presence of the Lord, Jesus says something to him that almost comes across as a rebuke. The Lord makes a statement. I'm not sure, Pastor, if in his statement, if Jesus is speaking to him or if he's just speaking in a generality to the mindset of that day. I'm not sure. I can't decipher it here. But Jesus says unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Seemed that the multitude of that day was interested in a performance-based relationship with God. It seemed that people of that day were interested in a God that could just do magic tricks for them. You'll read of it later on when Herod is in the presence of the Lord. He's saying, do some miracle for us. It's almost like a parlor trick to him. That seemed to be the mindset and the mentality of that day. But the Lord said, I'm looking for somebody that can believe in me if they don't see the miracle yet. I'm looking for somebody that's got faith in me even if you don't see the breakthrough yet. God's looking for somebody tonight in Hot Springs that can let their faith rise. Even if you had a hard day, even if everything's going wrong, you can still give God praise. You can still worship the Lord if everything's going wrong.
I'm telling you, God's looking for somebody that's got faith enough to believe that God can do it, even if it hasn't happened yet.
It was a do it first, Lord, then I'll believe kind of attitude that Jesus was addressing. But he desired that faith that would believe it would happen before it ever did. Jesus was appealing to the faith of this man. Jesus just needs us to believe that he can and that he will. He's not asking you to figure out the how. He's not asking you to figure out where it's going to come from. He's not asking you to figure out the timing. He just needs us to believe he can. Well, thank you, Lord. Even if we can't see it yet. Oh, I keep coming back to that. But even if you can't see it yet, you still got to exercise your faith. Because it's the substance of things hoped for. I don't have it yet. It's not in my bosom yet, but I'm hoping to see it. I'm believing God's going to do it. I'm releasing my faith that he can. They're not sitting on the pew with me yet, but I'm believing they're coming. It hasn't changed from a marriage yet, but I'm believing that it's going to happen. It hasn't come to my home yet, but I'm believing it's on the way. It's the man's response that got the Lord's attention. I'm convinced tonight that every church service, God's looking for our response to what he's trying to tell us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The nobleman said unto him, in response to what the Lord just said, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. This man responds to that, not with an attitude, not with a chip on his shoulder, not with a, well, who do you think you are? No. He responded to the Lord with faith. And he said, sir, he didn't even call him Lord yet. He didn't even know who he was. Jesus hadn't even revealed himself to his disciples yet. This is so fresh and new. This man says, sir, if you'll just come down, if you'll come with me, if you'll come to my house, my son can be healed. He said, sir, come with me ere my child is going to die. He was making the statement, Lord, if you don't do it, it's not going to be done. Lord, if you don't come through, we're not going to make it. Lord, if you don't do something about it, it's not going to change. It's not going to happen. It's a miracle only you can work, Lord. Oh, it was as though he said to the Lord, I'm not looking for evidence of your ability to heal. I'm not looking for evidence that you can do this. I just believe you can. I'm not looking for some sort of evidence, some kind of documentation that you can do this. Lord, I just need you to come home with me. Oh, you know, tonight, if you just get that attitude in your spirit, Lord, I need you to go home with me, or things are not going to get better. I'm telling you, a miracle would start before you hit them doors. A miracle would start before you got in your car. There's some changes that would start to take place before you ever got home. Oh, come on, let's magnify the Lord here for a second. Come on, somebody needs to take the limits off your faith tonight. I haven't seen it move lately. I haven't seen it operate in my life lately. I've seen other people get miracles, but I haven't got a miracle lately. I haven't got a breakthrough lately. I'm telling you, tomorrow's coming. But what you got to work with is right now. That's going to set the stage for what happens tomorrow. My Lord, can I go a little bit deeper here tonight? Jesus responds to this man's faith.
Jesus says unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, notice the Lord's language there. He said, thy son liveth. Well, Jesus, when I left the house, he was still alive. But Jesus was speaking over the top of what had already taken place at home. The boy had died. The boy had done given up the ghost. Matter of fact, people were done dispatched from the house and were on their way to let him know, you might as well come on back home. We got funeral arrangements to make. It's gone from bad to worse. While this man was out chasing after the Lord, the situation has done grown bleaker and darker. I'm telling somebody tonight, it's gotten harder, it's got bleaker, and it's gotten darker in your life. And the devil's told you to give up, but the Lord's given you a word tonight. The Lord's given you a word tonight. It's not going to turn out that way. Jesus said your son's alive. He was nigh to death when you left. He died since you've been gone. But Jesus said he's alive. Jesus said he's alive. Oh, tonight somebody needs to grab a hold of it. That your miracle is alive. It's not dead. It's not going under. It's alive. Woo! It's so simple tonight. But the man, in his response, the Bible said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. That man was given a present word, Brother Darren Motes, that was going to impact tomorrow for him. He was given a present word, oh Lord, that was going to impact what took place in his entire family for years to come. Hallelujah. He didn't have proof that it had happened yet. He didn't have evidence or a photograph that it had happened yet. Matter of fact, there was people that was trying to dissuade and say there's no hope. He's already dead. But while he was there with the Lord, Jesus said, you believe the word. And the man believed what the Lord had said. And the Bible says that he went his way. He put it in shoe leather, folks. He put it in action. He said, I'm not going to sit down here and wait on things. I'm not going to sit down here and try to reason it away. Let me just say here tonight that sometimes we talk ourselves out of miracles. Because we sit down and we get to reasoning in our spirit. Well, God gave you a word. God told you what he's going to do. God told you what he's getting ready to do in your life. And we get to reasoning. Instead of walking in faith, instead of not doing it by sight, we get to walk in by sight. We get to walk in by our reason. We get to trying to calculate. We get to try to crunch the numbers and figure things out. But what we've got to do is be like this man. He believed the word and then he started walking in it. Somebody tonight needs to walk in your miracle. Somebody tonight needs to walk in your word. Somebody tonight needs to dig back out a promise that God's given to you. And you need to walk in that word. Oh, I wish somebody grab a hold of it tonight. I wish somebody make a testament of it in faith and just run with the word. Run with the word. I've got a word and I'm going to run with it. I'm going to walk it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to believe what Jesus. Come on, it's brewing in his house tonight. Come on. There's something breathing on this house tonight. Come on, we're in the presence of the Lord. We're in the presence of the Lord right now. But our response right now is going to dictate what happens tomorrow. Come on, put your calculator away. Come on, put your reason away. God's getting ready to bless you. God's getting ready to move for you. You've already got the word. It's just time to walk in it. It's time to walk in it. It's time to embrace it. Come on, there's a witness of the Holy Ghost in here right now. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost in here right now. You've seen it work for others, but you've been saying it's not working for me. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. Come on. You got to receive the word, and then you got to walk in it. Yes, 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 yes. You shout before the miracle happens. You praise him before the miracle happens. You walk before you embrace the miracle. Come on. He didn't even have his son in his arms yet, but he was on his way. He was on his way. Somebody tonight is on their way. I've got more I could preach tonight, but the Holy Ghost is in here so strong right now. I'm preaching tonight about tomorrow's miracle. Tomorrow's miracle. It's going to happen according to our response right now. It's going to happen commensurate with our response right now. While he was coming, they were coming with news. While that man was walking in the word, they were coming with the news. It looked bad when you left. It got worse when you walked out the door. But something happened yesterday. Something happened yesterday. He said, what time? He said, about this time yesterday. And the man knew it was when he was with the Lord. I'm telling you, while you're with the Lord tonight, while you're with the Lord tonight, there's miracles being dispatched. Woo! There's miracles being dispatched. Come on, the evidence is forthcoming. Woo. The evidence is forthcoming. Come on, you got to see it as done. You got to speak it as done. You got to believe that it's done. The miracle started the day before, when the man walked in the word. But he didn't find out about it till tomorrow. I'm telling somebody tonight, you're getting ready to hear about a miracle. You're getting ready to hear about a miracle. But it's going to start tonight, on a Monday night, on a schedule change service. A miracle starting tonight. Come on, that's it, brethren. Pray. Come on, saints of God, that's it. Pray. Come on, that fasting's not been in vain. Those prayer meetings have not been in vain. That worship's not been in vain. That sacrifice has not been in vain. It's been getting ready. Tomorrow's miracle. Tomorrow's miracle. You getting ready to embrace tomorrow's miracle. Discouraged because it hasn't happened yet. You might be in that 16-mile journey from Capernaum to Cana, but know while you're walking, there's a miracle that's taking place. There's a miracle that's taking place.